All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I hate to break the fishing news up, Ramchuk, but I'd like to speak about the ice hockey.
Congratulations, you're one of the 13 listeners of the Real Life Podcast.
We just traded a migraine in for like an orgasm.
Might want to mark that down, Ramchuk.
Yep. All of my projects are on schedule until they're not.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts.
About as funny as we're going to get today.
Chalmers figuring out what side is his good side.
I'm looking at the camera and I'm looking at the film and I realize that I'm sitting on the exact wrong side. This is my good side. Look at that.
Me and you
that
could
looks better.
It would
than this.
It would make sense for me and you to switch spots.
Okay, next one.
Because then I can put my laptop on the table.
Want to do it right now?
No, it's okay.
Tyler's good side's the other side.
But Chalmers needs the table for his drink.
Yeah,
I could put it on the windowsill. I don't mind.
That'd work.
What a Thursday, boys.
I haven't seen you since...
It's been 2 weeks.
Game one.
Yeah.
I haven't seen you since game one.
We haven't had a real life in a month.
Yeah, so I haven't had a chance to tell you that I was in Jay's seats for game one. And when Zach Hyman scored the hat trick, my favorite thing is I looked over at the loge and you had the cowboy hat down and off.
So I went to that game and I went... And thinking when Hyman scored that goal, I was on my toes because I immediately took the hat off. I put it underneath the loge table and I just stood there clapping.
I looked up too and I was like, did he throw? Oh my God, he threw the cowboy hat.
So everybody, I'm not throwing this hat. Like, they don't give these things away. It fits my head perfectly. I love this hat. And I was worried that somebody was going to pressure me around me to throwing it, right?
How much money would it have taken?
Yeah, what's the cost?
Because what's the price tag on one of those?
Because I got $550.
$550.
Can't do that.
This is a black Stetson. This is a real deal Holyfield. And so a G would have done it. Actually, the price of the hat, but it's not even, you know, when you get like those things that you really like a pair of shoes that you love and then you wear them out, you can't find another pair just like them.
Yeah.
That's worth something to me, right?
Yeah.
So that I'd need a bit of a kicker other than just the price of the hat. But so I put it down underneath me and I look up and I'm just like looking around because I love to just take it all in, right? Just see what people are doing around me. And these two couples in the loge right behind us, they're all looking at me and as I catch their eye, they're like, did you throw the hat? Did you throw the hat? I'm like, no. And I pick it up and they're like, oh, thank God, smart. So they didn't want me to throw it, obviously, but there was a guy next to me. And because I was on the end of the loge and the dude next to me was instantly my favorite person because in the first period, in the first shift, JR, you know what our favorite burn is to yell at a sporting event because of how ridiculous it is.
Yeah.
This guy to a T, like I had written it down for him, says the exact thing that we say. Hey, Drew Doughty, you bum. And I'm just like, oh, I
love calling players bums.
I look at him and I'm like, oh no. He's just said like, you suck, you bum. And just yes. Saying, I calling beautiful. Somebody a bum is just,
it's so basic, it's so but simple. So deep.
And so I like, but so this guy was giving me high fives the whole time and he was drinking. And so I was worried that he was either going to just a take it off my head and throw it.
Yeah. Or, but that'd be a pretty,
so,
so it's down, funny you say that because that game, I'm a hat thrower. I'm chucking it. And I still miss the hat that I threw.
So I'm looking down in the box. You can look right into the boxes below us. And there's this kid and he has a team hat on and he's holding it. And you can see his mom and dad are like, throw it. And he's like, I don't want to throw it. And they're like, throw it. And then his uncle, and they start just like, throw it. And he stands there for what must have seemed like an eternity to him. And finally he just throws it. And I'm like, that's what I didn't want to happen to me, to get pressured into throwing the hat. So yeah, I was on my toes. I didn't want to throw
it. I chucked mine. And then the guy in front of us immediately turned around. He goes, don't you take my hat off. I'm like, that was never even a thought. Like,
yeah.
I'm just a hat chucker. I love to do it. It's compulsion.
If they get, how many hats did they say they got?
1,100 or 1,200.
Yeah. There's still a lot of people that didn't throw their hats.
Oh, yeah. That's only about,
do you think wear hats to a game?
So 1,200, I think they said, wasn't it like 6% of the crowd or something like that?
Yeah.
Right around there. So,
I love hat tricks. They're so much
fun. Of which so probably 50% of the people are wearing hats.
But of course, I'll go to a game in the playoffs. Maybe it's lower. Maybe
40% are wearing hats. I don't know.
Maybe only a third of people are wearing hats.
So then that qualifies as 18 or 20% of the hat wearers.
Yeah. One in every five hat wearers.
I watched my hat touch at least four hands before it hit the ice.
Yeah, I got hit with one too.
We got bombarded.
So at least I got to throw one.
But it feels dirty throwing a hat.
It's like you get the thrill, but you get to keep your hat.
Yeah.
I know, but it feels like you're cheating.
It's a mega mooch play. Absolutely.
I thought we potentially were going to get another 1,100 hats on the ice last night.
Ooh. Oh, man.
We were close.
And you know what?
My favorite thing of the playoffs and something that even my son and I talked about, that we're going to remember from this playoffs and how I know that this team is different from, let's say, a Toronto Maple Leafs who are going through drama in the locker room. Leon Draisaitl, clear path to an open net, gets hauled down, absolute penalty. Is he upset that he didn't get that hat trick goal?
He fist pumps
that he didn't get it. He fist pumps that we're going to go on the power play. That pretty much is going to seal the win for the team. We're not playing as individuals. This team has a different feeling right now. I don't think they've ever not had a team feeling, but if you ever wondered if dudes were playing for themselves or the team, the one guy that you could say sometimes, other than maybe Kane, that may sometimes...
He goes through his spurts in the regular season.
That right there was one of the best things from round one. That's going to encapsulate round one for me, that play.
Can you explain to me why that wasn't an automatic goal? Does he have to be a clear break?
The one dude that didn't haul him down, I think it was Doughty, hauled him down, was a little bit ahead of him. Was closer to the net than him.
I like the few people that still threw their hats on the ice. I honestly love that.
Respect. Can you imagine what a piss off and how demoralizing it would have been if you were a Kings player? And you would have had to sit there while the music bumps for like 12 minutes
while they clean up all the hats and they
end to wait to play the last 2 seconds of the game.
Yeah. Like, oh, just brutal. That would have sucked.
That's too bad.
Yeah. It would have been too bad for them. Kings, I felt like, gave off major loser vibes. Victor Arvidsson, after the game ended, was standing in front of the penalty box, yelling at the ref still.
Dropping F bombs too. See the clip clear as day.
Oh, really?
In a series that you could say was completely dictated by special teams, and to have that many penalties, they were penalties. I didn't think that there was one that wasn't. And the dive, there's a lot of people.
That was a dive.
That was a dive.
You're a professional athlete, you're not going down.
When you get hauled down if you're actually hauled down, you lose momentum. You like slow down.
You don't leap forward.
He's almost sped up, which means you're amplifying.
Propelling yourself.
Yeah. And so, the fact is that was, that was a wash across the board, right? Like, I still think it was that. But there was timely penalties. I didn't think that the McDavid, I think they were bitching about the McDavid running into Anderson. That was just that he could have stepped out of the way. Like,
how? Also, Kings fans were talking about soft penalties. Like, there were also a number of soft penalties called against the Oilers. Corey Perry just losing his edge. Yeah. And then taking
and then that's
out?
A tripping. That was a major. I was really, really worried because when Louis said, oh, he's not putting weight on that leg. And then you kind of go, okay, so like, did he twist his ankle going into that? Yeah. So then they show it slow mo and he doesn't twist his ankles. They both go into, but his knee hits first.
Yeah. Charlie horse. Or
yeah. So it was probably just a stinger, which was good because he was out like three, four shifts later. Yeah. But in that moment when he's not putting weight on it and he's standing there talking to the ref and you can see that he's like kind of stalling, not wanting to put weight, not wanting to move. You think blown knee, huge, huge loss, right?
When somebody crashed into the net, my default is always, oh fuck, I hope he didn't break his leg.
Yeah.
Especially with the guy crashing down on top of him.
Yeah.
But, I felt better about it when I saw him chirping the ref a little bit because I was like, oh, okay. He's doing Corey Perry things. He's got to shake that off.
Yeah. Yeah. And the reffing, it is what it is. But we, with the goal, let's talk about the goal for a second.
Which goal?
Draisaitl scores. He's the only one in the building
that knows
for sure.
Sword was in the sheath.
Yep. And we go upstairs. And so my kids are like, that's a goal. My wife is that's in, you can tell. And I say, you know, the problem with this is the call on the ice was not a goal. Mm-hmm. Therefore there has to be definitive proof to overturn that. You have to be able to see it. And from the upper, so I'm waiting for the above the net cam and you can't see anything. It's not a good angle. The one angle that was definitive was from down at ice level across the red line where you see the black in the white glove.
So this is the rant I did on my show today. And don't cut me off because Liam kept cutting me off when let me get it out.
I kind of want to cut you off.
Yeah,
I think we're going to now.
The Oilers are lucky. I think the Oilers got lucky that they changed the call on the ice to a goal. Because I think even on that side angle, the inner rim of Riddick's glove is black. And again, common sense, you can look and be like, that black mark is the puck because I saw the shot and it's the webbing. Using the NHL's kind of logic of like, you need to know without a shadow of a doubt to overturn it.
Okay.
I think you can say when the puck's in the net, you might be able to go, okay. But
I want to cut you off.
Is it definitive?
Is it the puck or is that? I'm just going to yell if you try to cut me off.
You're repeating yourself now.
Yeah.
Could it be the inside black part of the glove? Thank you.
Okay. All right. Now let's go down the path here. Do we agree that the puck went into the glove?
Yes.
His entire arm is
his entire glove went into the net.
Yes.
The entire glove was past the goal line.
Yes.
You almost hit me in the face.
The definitive answer is right there.
Yes. So
pucks in glove. So glove is behind the line.
So my thought was actually.
That's what logic would tell you.
But how many goalies that's definitive. Now,
if you're rocking a white glove, you switch her to a black one.
But if you go by the letter of the law, you have to, in the booth review in Toronto, you have to see the black puck cross the line. If it's covered by a glove and we all know it's in there, that's the gray area.
That's what I was thinking.
I've seen this before where Louis and Jack are like, no, there is no question. This is a goal. And you can just tell everybody thinks, and then they come back and say it's not. I was expecting that. I was legitimately expecting them to come back and go, we definitely could see it. But then I saw, and dude, when they showed Toronto and the station room, do these people not have control of their own replays? They have 8 screens and they're all replays that are happening during the game. But I don't see anybody like rewinding, fast forwarding, like from different angles. A guy's just sitting there looking at 7 screens. And I'm like, from what I saw, I definitively didn't see the puck. But then after they called it a goal, they showed the clip in the intermission from the side. And you can see the puck in the glove, in the net. And that's when I went.
That's why I tweeted, this would be the most Oilers thing ever. That does not count.
Totally. That's what I meant by they got lucky. It was called a goal on the ice. Otherwise,
my favorite part about it, though, was that everybody else was, because you watch it live on TV and you're kind of from the other side. So you didn't see the glove when it was happening live. And all I think was like, holy shit, what a save.
That was the most amazing save.
I jumped. I'm like, that had to go on in. I was convinced that one.
But then
really?
Leon, without even having the review over, he goes, that's a goal. And he did the flyby.
That got the crowd going. Great. Because no one knows what's going on. Liam goes to the bench solo to do the fist pump
baller
for the goal
move too.
Like, very ball.
We held
playoff
them.
Leon.
We historic numbers on the special teams. 0% on their power play. Our penalty kill special was 100%. The power play numbers could be so much better if it wasn't for 3 seconds. Twice.
I know.
But twice. Yeah,
they're glorified power play goals. So like that's also a concern. Is that we're just like just scoring on the power play, but it's lethal AF.
Yeah. So they have 6 looks on the power play that they like. I've seen
it's they a lot had of pitches a seventh.
I've never seen them pass it to Dreisaitl, kind of between the hash marks, where he takes it on his forehand and then spins and shoots. I've never seen that, but it was a set play because he went there and then they worked it to one side and he then got it to him there.
Last time I remember him scoring on that was probably in Nashville. Yeah.
So they have done that before.
Yeah. Where he turns to face the net and McDavid, like from behind him, puts it on his backhand and then he snaps it.
The one that was interesting to me was, and they talked about it on the broadcast, the Kings were really collapsing down low in front of the crease. So Connor would go around the net, pass to Leon, and then cut through the box and then back. Like, how do you defend that?
Well, so what's interesting too, and obviously they're very smart. Obviously they run plays. That mic'd up clip on Zach Hyman's goal in LA, I thought was so good when he scores. And then he kind of turns to the group and he says, I think he says, great call, Leo, like great call. And then Dreisaitl was like, they can't defend it. They can't defend it.
Yeah.
And like, that was their set play. And you're right to use the like analogy of like they have 7 pitchers or I think BMs, whichever one you said it, like, because they go out there before and do their little huddle and definitely say like, we're doing this.
Yeah.
And it's unreal.
It's almost like they are a football team with 4 downs and they're like, we're going to start with this one. And if it doesn't work, progress into this one.
Yeah.
Progress into this one. And
it's a 2-minute drill.
It's a 2-minute drill, man. And it's, and they're doing it on the fly where you see them kind of almost give like, you know, quarter like a McDavid's signal? Quarterback a signal. This okay, next one. Like next one. They know this one. And I just think it's McDavid, I don't know what to think about this. And I want to just spitball it, but I know he's super smart at hockey. But last night I saw in game 2 and game where he would like take the puck and he would just like fly, right? Try to take on the whole team.
Yeah.
He knew they were starting to swarm him. Last night, did you notice that he had about 3 opportunities, maybe 4, to wind up where he would get the puck and he would slow down and almost like allow people to get in other positions to make a smart play. They're doing exactly what they need. They know exactly what they need to do. They're not like, he's not just flying off the handle. The game is so cerebral for that team.
Oh, right yeah. yeah no. Everything thought, he does is intentional.
What I thought
like the Skinner game, they were like, listen, he's got it. I don't want to say that they sat there and were like, let's not go out full bore and be completely offensive. They were like, you know what? It's going to take 1 goal to win this game. Let's just
bail well, Kings the common, Kings. Though.
But what I thought was interesting was how the Oilers adapted from game to game, where you compare that to what's going on with Vancouver and Nashville. Vancouver really hasn't adapted at all to the way that Nashville's clogging up the middle. They just keep trying the same thing over and over and over again. Whereas the Oilers, LA was going to be like, all right, we're going to try this on the PK. And they're like, well, fuck you. We got this one. Look, this look too. So I thought the Oilers did a really good job of adapting to whatever the Kings were trying on.
Yeah. And every game has been different. Every game's had a story, right? Yeah. Like the first game, we got the Hyman hat trick, right? The second game, it was just,
we gave it to him.
No, a bad overtime goal. Bad first period. Third game, we get the Skinner game, right? No,
fourth game.
Fourth game, Skinner game. Third game, we get the
6-1.
6-1, yeah. Beatdown. Like, just systematic beatdown, right? Like, it is. This team is just different, man. Feels different. It just looks different. There's no doubt in my mind that this team is like firing on all cylinders at the exact right time.
If you want to know how different they are right now, Zach Lang is working on an article for Oilers Nation. It compares the last 4 playoff lineups. Going back to the
This is some work.
The weird COVID season. The last game of that COVID series.
Oh God, this is depressing.
Give me a guess, Tyler, who you thought was on the first line for that game. The last one when they got swept by the Jets.
Cahoon and Athanasiou.
It was Cahoon, McDavid, Puljujarvi was the first line.
Oh my God.
Nuge, Draisaitl, Yamamoto, James Neal, McLeod, Zach Cassian, Josh Archibald, Jujhar Khaira, Alex Chiasson was your top 12.
That sucked.
Can I? So last night,
Dominic Cahoon.
Last night we go down these rabbit holes. My sons are like very invested in hockey right now, and they look up stats on their phones and their iPads. Mm-hmm. They brought something to my attention that put my mind in an absolute pretzel. Because if you asked the trivia question in 2021, when the Tampa Bay Lightning won the Stanley Cup, mm-hmm. who did they beat?
Oh, I know.
So you do. But when he told me, I was like, that's impossible. That can't happen. That's two East teams. That makes no sense. And then I had to take a step back and go, oh, shit, this was the COVID year. Yeah. That right there was the like, Canadian that's going to be a great trivia question one day. Right?
Yeah, like 10 years from now when it's really, because right now,
yeah, there's got to be someone in the West. Well, yeah.
The Montreal Canadiens were in the Stanley Cup final in 2021. I went, Tampa won that in 2021. So no, they weren't, son. Well, yeah, Dad, they were. Son, that's impossible. That's two East teams playing.
They came and back 3-1 against the Leafs.
Dude.
Oh yeah.
Like that's going to be a crazy good trivia question. You do a trivia night at a bar, make that one of your questions.
Yeah. But those don't really like, again, it's like,
they beat the Leafs.
Yeah. They were down 3-1 in the first round and came back to win.
And the Leafs were the one seed.
Yep.
And wow. Then that was the last ever games for Shea Weber and Carey Price. We're in that cup final.
They put it all on the line. That was a wild run by them.
Sticking to the topic, what do we think about Stamkos? Is this his last game in Tampa? Was that his last game in Tampa?
Nah, he has to.
I don't think so.
You think so? He doesn't want to do the Johnny Tavares? Go to the Leafs?
It would be something if the Leafs traded Marner and signed Stamkos.
What world would we have to live in?
And get a haul for Marner.
Where Stamkos would come to Edmonton.
A different one, not this one. Not
this You'd one. Have to take a major haircut.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does he want to play for Fogle money?
Yeah. Now we're talking. What? Let's cook.
All right. Jay's going to spin zone
and
this.
To play with two of the best players in the NHL.
How would they fit in Sid at next year's deadline, though?
Yeah. Let's cook.
Well, it's a one or the other situation.
I can't. Oh,
you got to think.
We can't be unrealistic.
We can't be greedy.
You got to think Sid is pissed. You got to think Sid is pissed.
Well, especially given how the Capitals were just such a non-event. I feel like if Pittsburgh got in or Detroit got in, they just would have been more fun to watch.
Yeah. Washington's young, though. I mean, they overachieved this year. And Ovi, oof.
Ovi's just chasing that record.
Yeah. He turned on the back half of the season, though.
Yeah.
He did.
Pointless in the playoffs, though.
Was he?
Yeah.
I mean, PLD only had one.
Oh, man.
PLD. How about this? Frank today on the DFO rundown. Buy him out.
So
buy out who? Sorry?
Pierre-Luc Dubois. So because he's under the age of 25, his buyout calculation is a 1/3 buyout.
However, our boy Hart from Puckpedia was digging into this because a lot of people was asking him. So is it a 1/3 or a 2/3 buyout? And I'm quoting Puckpedia now. If the cup is awarded on June 23rd, they cannot buy him out until after he turns 26, meaning it would be a 2/3 buyout. If the cup is awarded before June 22nd, they could potentially buy him out before he turns 26, making it 1/3. So that extra.
So they so badly want all these seasons. And you know what? It's trending that way. Like with the fact that there's maybe a potential for two of these series to go to a game seven.
1/3. So 1/3.
1/3 of 8.5.
Of 8.5. So like.
And that buyout stretches out over 14 years.
I'll be 40.
But like they would. Wow. Would you do it? Awful. That's a lot of dead. Like it's not a huge number, but it's a long time to have dead cap space.
Now let me hit you up with a hypothetical trade.
And then they signed Marner. Oh, Dubois for Marner?
No. No, there's no way Toronto would do that. Dubois? First round pick.
Yeah.
Huberto Markstrom.
Dude, Dubois has no value.
Huberto probably has no value.
Flames fans probably would like Huberto more than they'd like Dubois.
Yeah. But if you're the Flames.
Huberto had a decent season.
Huberto basically marks the moment that the Calgary Flames were decimated.
So, like, they should just do straight up Dubois. Well,
but you get the first for Markstrom, yeah, maybe a bit of an overpay on the goalie front. And if you're LA, it's like, hey, we're trying to win now. Let's get the guy who's better right now. If you're Calgary, you're not going to be good for what, 3-4 years?
You're not rolling the band back together? Big save Dave and Dad Bob?
But is Dubois...
He's 25, and you just sit there and go, okay, he's a little cheaper than Huberto. He's a center. He's 25. We know what he can be when he's at his best.
What is that exactly?
Well, I guess
a really, really good 2C.
And Huberto is struggling.
And he's 30. So if you're like, we're not going to be good in for 4 years, what's better for us in 4 years? 34-year-old Huberto or 29-year-old Dubois?
Yeah, no, I see the connection because Calgary's also retooling anyways.
Huberto would definitely waive to go to LA.
I did a...
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like an emergency episode of Better Late Than Never this morning. And I just looked at the trade again. You cannot tell
Fleeced.
Me any circumstance that the Kings against the Oilers this year would not have been better if they had Gabe Vilardi, Alex Iafallo, and Rasmus Kapari on their roster instead of PLD.
And one of Walker or Durzi.
Or Sean Durzi.
Hey, like just quick.
Considerably.
Quick point, nerds. I think we're losing the plot. You guys are right now talking about LA Calgary trades
because
we just won a game five
because we punted both those teams into potential rebuilds.
Yeah. That's the fun part about it is like the Flames broke when McDavid ended that series in OT.
Yeah. Yeah.
They should try and get
it. Looks like the Kings may break as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like
fire
Drew
sale.
Doughty. I watched Drew Doughty's post game last night. He's a defeated man.
I can see Drew's. What is this, like his 16th season in the league or something crazy?
At a high level, though.
Yep.
Oh, I know.
Him and Kopitar were their best players.
Kempe
was good.
He's
Arvidsson. I mean, I know that Drysdale is the best backhand passer in the league, but that Arvidsson backhand sauce to Lazat for their goal, for their first goal, was fire.
Arvidsson is
such
good.
A good pass.
Like, if they go in fire sale mode,
Arvidsson's a UFA.
So,
and he's feisty.
Yeah, he is.
He's also I wonder what's going to happen. With
I know,
Drew
but
Doughty.
You like him on your team.
Like, does he just ride out? Does Drew Doughty want to rebuild? Because
no.
He's got 3 more years at 11 schmilly after this.
He's still at 11?
Mm-hmm. Cap hit of 11 bills.
I wonder if they have to take some salary.
And he's got a modified no trade.
Drew Doughty will never leave LA.
But like,
you don't think so?
Never.
If they go,
he's got two cups.
He's got the cups, but like, if they go, all right, we're going to rebuild. We cannot beat the Oilers in the playoffs. They went 7 games and 6 games and 5 games.
We're
if we meet them again next year, it's probably going to be a sweep. May as well just miss the playoffs and save the time. He's not going to want to do that.
But I just think he's got the rings, and I think him and Kopitar, like, they'll have statues one day next to Dustin
Brown.
Well,
that's the thing. If they can. They just got to shake up the core a little bit. They got to address their goaltending and get Dubois out. Yeah. Like Byfield is coming.
This is good.
He is coming.
He's good.
They can retool on the fly. If they can get Dubois out and get goaltending, because Kopitar's cap hit drops significantly next year.
He's done. This is his last year.
But he's re-signed. He's re-signed.
Like a $7 million, I think.
Oh yeah. $7 million. There.
Right. So it drops significantly. So they're going to, and they get Dubois off the books. They're going to have a lot of money to spend.
Whew.
And they've got assets. They got assets for days.
Career earnings for 120 mil for Anze Kopitar.
Not bad. Oh, let's play the game. Where's he rank?
He's doing all right.
Where does he rank what?
Amongst earnings.
All time?
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know where to start. Who's number one?
Ovi?
Where is it again? I'm trying to find it. Career earnings. We've done this a lot of times. What was he? 120?
120, yeah.
He is sixth all time.
Sixth?
It goes Crosby, Ovi, Weber, Jager, Malkin, Kopitar. Le Cavalier, Kane, Taves, Pronger.
Le Cavalier is impressive is considering he hasn't played in a minute.
Yeah, that's actually really good.
And that money's a lot different back then.
Isn't he still on someone's buyout
list? I think he was
LA's?
He had to retire. He did a deal to... Are you talking about Le Cavalier?
Yeah.
When he got traded from Philly to LA, the deal was for him to go there because I think LA was trying to make a run.
This is why I'm not
going to... He would have to retire after that year.
This is why I'm not going to pop Doku because I had no idea he played for either of those teams.
Well, yeah, once he kind of started on the down back nine of his career, he signed a pretty big ticket.
Le Cavalier has 4 more years a free buyout, but it was a compliance buyout then from the CBA on the Bolts books. What the fuck did that happen?
Because he retired.
I know,
but capture.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I woke up today and pretty much not a damn thing could go wrong. Here I have those days, right? Not a damn thing.
Yeah, I was like that today too.
I think everybody was. And I was like, going back to that game, I want to touch on a couple more things. We talked about it earlier, but one of my other favorite things from the game was I like to see the little things that happened, you know, the 2 second camera shot of something funny happening. And Chris Knobloch provided me with some entertainment.
Oh, I know exactly what you're going to say because it made me laugh too.
Rookie head coach, never won a series in the NHL. So, not used to it. Let's say that, right? Pretty safe to say. We win that game. Buzzer goes. What does the coach usually do?
The anti-Woody.
Yeah, exactly. The anti-Woody. Exactly right. He, instead of standing there at the bench, like Woody did for the handshake, what does Knobloch do? Same thing he's done every other victory.
Straight down the tunnel.
But this time, can't do that, Knobby.
Yeah, one of the trainers is like,
by Gullickson to, hey, dude, we got to go out there and shake these guys' hands. And you can tell he's like,
fuck them.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. I hope they didn't get that on camera. Well, Chris, they did.
I loved it.
And it was great.
It was fantastic.
Don't worry, buddy. You're going to get used to this. There's going to be a lot more of this to come.
I loved it.
I thought it was great. It
made me laugh because I still think of one of my favorite coaching post-series things is when Woody flew out, slammed the door open, and he's sitting there waiting, hands on hip, waiting for...
Oh, that's
for
legendary.
Just prop him into a lot of things. That would make a lot of sense.
So to have Chris Knobloch go, I'm out. Yeah. And it was fantastic.
So I put that out on X and... A lot of, it's his anniversary. He's got to go, man. He's got dinner plans. I'm like, well, I did not know that, but that is very humorous. So that was good. Yeah. Derek Ryan.
He got away with a nice little holding the stick there right at the end.
Buddy, very stressed out when he lost his stick.
Yeah.
For like 2 full minutes, I'm like,
he almost killed himself going to the boards there trying to get
out of there. I'm like, you got to get out. You got to get out of there. You got to get out of there. But he ends up making a hit, a disruption play. That frees the puck up for us to get it out. It was a huge, huge play.
Yeah.
Huge play.
DR, man. All heart.
Yeah.
We'll take a lick.
I thought that was great, too. Who? So that guy, he was in the lineup because who was it?
Sam Carrick. Jay talked about it in LA a bunch. It's like Derek Ryan, he will do anything to make a play, even if it means getting completely demolished.
Yes. He gets rocked.
Yeah,
he does. Because he's tiny.
He is not big.
But he's got the heart of a lion, man.
So Connor Brown's obviously not in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Carrick's not in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Ryan is. Holloway is a mainstay to me.
He's never coming out.
Never. He is so good, man.
He is solidified.
He is the fact that he came in at the time he did and is playing the way that he is in a pressure situation.
We needed that.
Man, it's great. He made a wicked move yesterday in like the second and the shot didn't get through. Whatever, not a big deal, but he's just showing signs of it. Like, is this the lineup going forward? Is it going to be a constant Carrick, Ryan in and out, or is it just going to stay this way?
Because
Carrick was fine. Poor Connor Brown.
Well, here's the thing that I like. Connor Brown looks so much like Brett Kulak that I feel like Brett Kulak's playing with the spirit of two men right now.
Decent point. Twofer. It is playoff Kulak time.
It is playoff Kulak, and I thought he had a great series as well. He only played 13 minutes last night, but you'd think he was all over the ice.
He's noticeable because of skating.
Yep.
Great skater.
Loves jumping up in the rush. All right, we got to step aside quickly and take a break.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
All right, before we continue along, we got to give some love to our friends over at DuraGuard Fence. DuraGuard Fence has been servicing Alberta for 37 years. They offer manufacturing, installing, repair services, as well as a whole range of do-it-yourself solutions. The most highly trained and experienced fence installers operating the most modern fleet of equipment in all of Alberta. DuraGuard Fence, your one-stop shop for over 37 years. Whether it's chain link, wood, vinyl, ornamental fencing, they got you covered. For more information or to request a quote, go to DuraGuardFence.ca.
You still thinking of going chain link?
Nope, wood.
Yeah, smart.
Yeah, that was well done. Well, a smart play. Mm-hmm. Yep. So that day after the pod, so that would have been two Thursdays ago.
Yep.
Sat in my car. I was on a call with someone and I saw neighborhood man standing there, my neighbor, who I have not spoken to, even though I've lived there for 2 years. And I said to the person I was on a call with, I was like, "Hey man, I gotta get off this call.
I got a window here.
Yeah, I got an in. I was like, I gotta go talk to my neighbor." And they were like, okay, bye.
That's weird.
Hung up. Went, said, "Hey, don't think we've met. I'm Tyler." He just looked at me and just said his name. Type of there. He goes, "Ron."
Yeah.
I was like, "Okay, interesting start." I was like, "Hey, I'm talking to my girlfriend and
efficient start."
Yeah. And I was like, "And we're thinking of getting maybe this fence redone. I think it's time." He goes, "Yep." So then it's like quiet because I'm expecting him to like say something. I'm like, "Okay, cool." I was like, "There's like a little bit of fence that's more on our property side." I was like, "But it is split down the middle." So I was like, "So I'm thinking Amber and I will maybe take a bit more of the cost, but we'll split it like close to 50-50. Yup.
Verbal contract.
I'm like, "Okay." And I was like, "So I got a guy coming by in about 20 minutes to give me a quote. Like, is that cool?" Yup.
My man wastes no syllables.
And it was literally like, "Have a good day. You too." End of it. He said six words. One was his name. Three of them were "yup." And then the other two were "you too."
Don't you love how much you were like worried about it? And then you had that conversation and you went back probably into your house. And you were just like, "Well, that went fucking well."
No, I feel like he hates me.
But here's the thing. Now you're going to go knock on the door and say, "Okay, fence is done. Came to whatever.
Yeah, time to pay the piper.
You owe me this." Nope.
Let's hope his check writing hand doesn't get tired.
Well, yeah. So I'm a little bit nervous because now I got to either A, wait for another in to go talk to him.
Nope. This is what you do.
Do the fence?
No. You get the quote.
Got it.
Okay.
Get him to sign the quote.
You show him the quote.
Okay. I need to get a printer.
You say, you say something along the lines of,
"Give me half.
We got, yes. Give me half. We got to put a deposit down. I think if you put the deposit down, I'll take care of the rest." You get him to pay the deposit when he doesn't really need to.
I know, but it's a good move.
Yeah.
Now you're in control.
Now you're in control.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the leverage, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
There's a way to get money from him before production.
Yeah. Bring a bat with you too.
Yeah, maybe don't a crowbar. It's more intimidating.
That's a bad precedence.
Yeah. It's an insurance policy, Chalmers. Yeah.
I'm just gonna go over strapped up.
I'll strap up.
Bring the heat.
Why not? This fence shit smoke is serious business.
It is.
Got to go full Omar and bring a shotgun.
Omar coming. Did you watch The Wire?
I'm watching it right now, man.
Are you?
And I am.
It is weird because their cell phones are.
I know. It's you have to just accept the fact that payphones are still a thing, and the cell phones are hilarious.
You like the cop,
McNulty?
Do you like him as an actor? Do you like him?
Well, he's confusing to me because he's Prince Charles in The Crown.
I did not know that.
Right?
That
so was
not
there's so did many British actors in The Wire. It's kind of weird, but I have a theory on how it's going to end.
Okay.
My favorite character, Omar, is my favorite character.
Omar's the best, but it is weird.
But initially,
he is weird.
Initially, I was kind of like, "Oh, Omar's so annoying." But then I'm like, "No, Omar's Robin Hood."
Omar is the best.
He is the best.
Michael B. Jordan. When you saw him, that's jarring. Hey,
who's Michael B.?
He's the kid. He's the kid. He's the one kid that lives in the project. And he's like, he's always wearing the big buffalo. Or the he's got the dreads. He's wearing the big buffalo or Chicago Bulls jacket.
Oh, in like the first season.
Yeah, first season.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's him?
That's Michael B. Jordan.
Wow.
That's where you got to start, The Wire.
Oh, that, okay. Yeah, yeah, I can see that. Yeah. Wow, okay.
People that watched that show when it came out and are show people say it's top five.
I know, that's why I had to do it.
I know, and that's why I did it too. But there was a part where I couldn't suspend reality enough to put myself in that time. And like,
because you couldn't find
the- I don't know. It was tough. But I liked it.
You got to let it happen, man.
If, I know.
You got like you like Game of Thrones.
That's true.
And that's medieval shit.
June 16th. House of the Dragon.
Ooh, yeah. Coming that back. Ended that. And there she there is some fire
on
coming.
The plane, on the plane, I just crossed a show that just hit Netflix called Ripley. It's all in black and white and it's beautifully shot. And man, what a show that was.
About?
Oh, so you did end up liking it.
Yeah, eight episodes. Nice. And by the time it wraps up, everything gets tied together.
The elevator pitch of what this show is.
So essentially, it's about a con man who gets hired to go over to Italy to complete a job.
Okay. I'm in so far.
And it all spins out of control from there.
Of course it does.
Because he sees the situation in Italy and he goes, I think this is pretty good for me. How can I keep myself here?
Okay.
International shenanigans, Chalmers.
Sounds like The Equalizer.
No, it's a little bit more slow moving, but like when you're watching it, you get into it, you get into the character development. The only problem I have with it is about half the show is in Italian, so there's a lot of reading. Mm. But
you don't, it makes it a little authentic. You don't watch every Authentico. Show with subtitles?
Boopity.
What?
I watch no. every oh, show.
So
I,
distracting.
So distracting because then I just read the whole show. I might as well read a book like a freaking nerd.
Yeah, what, you're watching it on mute?
No.
So my missus watches with subtitles.
I just don't want to miss a thing.
So I've gotten used
and
to it,
I don't want to miss a thing.
I've actually gotten used to subtitles even just because my missus watches everything with subtitles.
Yeah, I like it. I don't know. I don't find myself fixated on it, but like you kind of read it quickly and then you watch them say it. I don't know.
I turn it off when I watch my own shows though.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm not into subtitles.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't lack.
So yeah. But anyways, look, I'm pumped, but I think I'm in the last season with like eight episodes left.
Yeah. I didn't make it that far. So you're,
oh yeah. I have a theory how it ends. Well, so have you gone,
I feel like you want
to
say it?
No. Have you gone to the seasons where Marlo Stanfield is now part of the mix?
Oh, and so how many seasons is there?
Five.
I got to 2.5.
Yeah. I think Marlo starts showing up in 3. Yeah. I know it is 3. He shows up.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that. It's like there's ongoing storylines from season 1. Like, it's not just like, okay, now we're on to a new, like you do go into a new case, but still like the old case still has life in the new case.
It's the one where the guy from the movie is like, shit,
shit. He's a senator. Yeah. Clay Davis. Clay Davis is a social media guy, isn't he?
No, that's Clay Travis.
Okay. So it's Clay Davis. Shit.
Shit.
Anyways.
All right.
Our feet touched.
Yeah. Let's talk some sports Mine betting.
Too. Oh, man. That was a double whammy.
Mm-hmm.
Sports betting segment brought to you by Bet365, proud partner of Nation Real Life. Open an account with Bet365 today and bet on a huge range of markets, whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. And if you're opening an account, you know we got that bonus action coming for you. We are oily boys, so it makes sense that the bonus code is oily bonus in all caps.
What's the promo code?
Oily bonus.
Oily bonus. I am here for that.
I like it.
You know what I did last night? I was a purist. Moneyline. That's it.
Wear a monocle.
The odds.
So sophisticated.
We're not the money line. Pretty.
No, they weren't pretty. But you just know what? Get the job done.
Just, I wanted the job done. Got myself my ham and cheese roll downstairs with my victory. Mission accomplished.
Moneyline.
I went Oilers and Reg. Just to get a little bit, because I wanted to go puck line, but I wasn't feeling too, in hindsight, thankfully not, too confident on it. So I met in the middle and did in reg.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like that. Tonight, the Leafs, they opened the day as -115 favorites. They're now +105.
No Matthews.
Dogs. Yeah, no Matthews effect. Anyone touching the Leafs tonight? Anyone be leafing?
Nope. I just can't because, again, I made a promise to our friend JD. that I will not cheer against the Leafs because he would not cheer against the Oilers in round one. But I just think that the Leafs are going to have a hard time. They just haven't been great at home.
Well, they're going to, I honestly think the Leafs are going to leave. Like, that statement is going to apply, but to an alternate outcome. Cause if the Leafs are going to leave, they're going to lose this game at home. They're going to lose an elimination game at home because that's what the Leafs do. Yep. I think this is some weird freaky Friday year for them where they persevere through that adversity.
Think their goal differential is -7 in this series. And I just think that if they've got a chance to come back, they got to keep the puck.
But here's the narrative. They squeak one out at home. Auston Matthews comes back. Golden Child, who single-handedly won game two and wins game 7 for
Because you also got to think that
the alternate reality of the Leafs.
That's not what I see. What I see in my forethought is I see it being 2-2 going into the third type of game, right? Back and forth, 1-1, 2-2, tied going into the third. Boston's going to open it up in the third. They're going to get a quick one, 3-2. Second half of that period, they're going to get another one, 4-2. And then they're going to score in an empty net after weathering an absolute storm.
So you got Boston -2.5.
Yeah. Huge.
What's that pay? That's got to be juicy.
Mm-hmm. That's what I got. With an empty netter, make it 5-2. Marchand's going to get the empty netter just to look up at the crowd and just laugh one last time. And they are going to shake hands and be done with it.
You know what I love about Bet365 is the same game parlay.
I love the same game parlay.
It is. It's amazing.
It's fun.
So if you can use Oily Boys and
Oily Bonus.
Oily Bonus. Sorry.
We are the Oily Boys.
We are the Oily Boys.
Charles, and take them -4.5 at 12-1.
No. Well, they also could just be an absolute blow.
No, like, because that's not what I see. So I'm really excited for the game tonight. Not going to lie. I mean, like, these playoffs have been fun.
The first round is the best.
I don't normally have appointment viewing for other.
I think this first round's kind of been stinky this year.
It's been kind of weird. Like,
on the East, I'd say that. Yeah. But like Dallas Vegas is turning into a series
now. A war.
Dallas up 3-2.
Do they play tomorrow?
My favorite series of 15 seconds of hockey was when I think it was McNabb blows up Stankoven or something. And then Ben absolutely steamrolls him.
That was in like 30 seconds of the game.
Dude, it was so,
bang, bang.
So good.
I was like, that's why I don't want to play either of these teams.
They are going to hurt after that.
I just want that series to go to 7. So they just keep doing that for another two games.
Yeah. And I think like,
I'm just glad we don't have to meet one of them in the second round. Let Colorado deal with them.
Let them keep beating each other up. I actually hope it's Vegas that if we want a true run where the Oilers overcome it, you know, then take the next step, you meet Vegas
and the you meet Colorado and
you beat them.
Dude, at the beginning of these playoffs, I was scared of Vegas. I was scared of Winnipeg. I was scared of Dallas and I was scared of Colorado. Vancouver, maybe even right now, I'm not scared of anybody. Dude, bring it on.
Team's playing good.
Every one of them.
To be the best, you got to beat the best. You got to beat good teams if you're going to win the Stanley Cup. And I think the Oilers are built to do that better than
Vancouver wins. And I think that the next series against Vancouver is maybe the most trying to get to the conference.
So
to the conference final.
I think
I still think they're frauds, man. Yep.
I think if you were to rank,
why haven't we solved them? We're such a cerebral team. We've talked about.
Well, but
we're so smart.
They got their three wins on us, or four. Was it two? But the first three when we were the worst team in the league.
Yes.
And then we didn't have Connor in the fourth one, right?
Yeah.
No.
Like it was so like the fourth one is circumstantial. The third one, we were just the shittiest team in the NHL.
So tomorrow night, Nashville's -130 on the money line. Canucks are +110 dogs trying to close out the series, which is a rare thing to see.
Right?
Yeah.
In Nash.
Let's do a little pros and cons. On one hand,
We dominate Nashville.
We got dominated by Vancouver.
Yeah.
What are the odds Vancouver wins?
They might go into it overconfident.
Yeah, right? Like, that's an angle. Leon Draisaitl said he would love to beat Vancouver.
No, I think like it's bulletin board material, the, like 0-4 against
the Canucks have more talent. The Canucks are hurt. Nashville, more fun city to travel to. Vancouver, shorter flight.
But Nashville is willing. Nashville, and this is where they might come out and win this series. they're willing to do all the little things to try to win the game, which that's tougher to play against.
UC Saros, elite, Arthur C. Loves, random goalie. Oilers suck against random goalies.
Hot chicken everywhere.
Did you guys see the stat?
Hot chicken nowhere.
Bocce ball bar, Vancouver. Bocce ball for the Holloway jersey.
Oh, no, 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 no. Can't be that.
You're usually pretty confident in yourself. You just really shrunk.
But I also know where I'm not good.
So you're not good at bocce ball?
Tyler and I are undefeated.
I struggled in that one. No, I think it did. No, I sucked.
We beat you.
I know, yep. Every time.
Pretty handily, I feel like.
Do I got a Nancy Kerrigan Liam to get on this Vancouver trip or what?
Well, okay. If there's two beds, pillow couch, and Liam puts the cushions on the floor,
we could get another guy in there.
We could ask for more blankets. Chalmers could sleep in the tub, make a bed in the tub.
Rat's ass where I sleep.
I am looking. There's a suite option where it's two king beds, a sofa bed.
Hello.
Oh, we could fit six guys in that room.
Easily.
Yeah, but let's
Frank he can room with us.
I was thinking about Frank when we were in LA.
Sir Saravalli?
When we were in LA and we were coming home and Tyler, Liam, Jay was already gone home and Tyler and Liam and I were just tidying up the room. All I could think about was Frank, just how disgusted he would have been with all four of us.
Yep. I would just love to see the reaction if Frank comes in. It's like, hey, Frank, you're technically the rookie in this group, so you get last pick.
And it's like, not,
I'll get another room.
But it's not like we're that hard in the room. Like,
no, we're just four dudes.
Just four. Like, it's not like just we're throwing ragers. Know? Like, the only thing that would happen is we would bring street ramen into the room at the end of the night.
And then the next morning, the room would stink like street ramen.
So good.
Also, Beck Milk threw a street ramen in the toilet one night and it got all over the walls. So the bathroom stuck like street ramen.
That was at 2 a.m. That was 2 a.m. Bag Milk. I have regrets and I missed.
The room always stinks. It always stinks.
I just want to make the memories like with you boys. I want
fats
to throw some
ramen.
I too would like to throw some street ramen in a toilet.
And listen, I know I'm guilty in that because I drink beers and you guys know what I'm like when I'm on my beers. So I know
what you're like when you're on your red wine and it's gross.
No, I think you'd prefer red wine over what happens when I drink beers.
I don't know.
So we got a little bit of a break. Hey, rest is a weapon.
Rest, hydration,
rest
family time.
Is a weapon.
Everybody in the hyperbaric chamber for the next 4, 5, 6 days, whatever it is. Rest up in
they
the
should,
hot
They
tub.
Should go to the mountains for 2 days and just kind of decompress.
Yeah, feel a little zen.
No.
Why not?
Okay.
No?
I don't know, man.
You want them to stay high strung for 5, 6 days before they have to, I think, go
I
decompress and then build it back up. Yeah. So get yourself out of that state so you can totally regenerate.
I'm actually curious. You're making me think about what they're talking about in the room. Like what and who decides how we got here and how we keep it. The mentality, what I mean, right? Is it that we practice hard every day? Is it that we stay in our city, we practice hard, we battle hard against each other, we take care of ourselves, and we stay in the mindset.
Well, let me ask you,
it's exhausting. I think you gotta escape.
Dude, it's like a weekend, man. Think about this. You work all week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are usually your most productive days. Then you take 2 days off on the weekend. Monday, you go, back at it. Fuck. I've had 2 days of awesomeness. Like, and now I got to go back to this shit. It's a mindset, right? Or do you just stay in the fight?
You just hate your job or hate what you do for work.
Not really. Just hate doing anything other than having some cocktails, playing some beanbag.
The boys, they go and they rent
maybe some bocce
cabins out at the JPL.
I don't know if the golfers might be open too. So if they can get some golf in, that'd be nice.
Maybe just,
or maybe it's not, I don't know.
Going a little tour, maybe some hiking, check things out.
Careful
though. Fitness in.
Careful hiking.
Yeah, you gotta roll an ankle. Watch your foot. Well,
so very, very.
Whatever Knobloch decides, I trust him because he doesn't make very many bad decisions right now. It seems like he is absolutely dialed in.
Pulls a lot of the right strings. It's solid.
He does. I mean, like even just the lineup changes, right? Like Carrick was falling all over the place in like game two. He couldn't stay on his skates. He looked like a kid that got his skate sharpened, and he didn't know.
Maybe he did. Maybe that is the problem.
He got blown up once by the bench too.
Content idea. We road trip to Vancouver and we podcast the whole way.
12 hours?
12 hours.
That's a long drive.
Think
about the drive back.
Chalmers. Yeah. Do you want to do that drive back?
2.5 hours.
I don't like how you guys aren't including me in this. This is it's heartbreaking. You know, I have FOMO. JR, you've known my whole life.
Chris Chalmers.
What is my worst? What is my biggest? I would say character trait that may be a negative that I can't control that my whole family has. Yeah, starts with an F and ends in FOMO.
FOMO, fear of missing out.
Yes, I have that.
Except you've been on One Nation vacation.
Yeah, but I'm literally on my knees begging, include me. And you guys are looking at me and you're like, he don't mean it.
Because I don't think you do.
Push comes to shove. Put the fucking money, put the thing that I have to pay, put it in front of me and tell me where to be, when to be. And we'll see how if I mean it.
And then make sure we got someone else lined up for when he bails day before.
So we'll do a nation vacation for one.
Yeah.
Just package for Chris.
No. You guys all just book it. Book me and tell me what I owe you. And then tell me when to be at the airport. Like, I don't even know when this might even happen. When would you leave?
Tuesday.
7 a.m.
Tuesday to Friday?
Yeah.
Done. That is a really tough thing for me. Yeah,
I was like, are you sure?
You could see like the practices he's got to deal with. The boys have got whatever. No,
we're just in spring hockey. I could give two squirts about practices and spring hockey during the week.
That's a work pocket.
We're talking right about for those of you that don't know, every morning I wake up, I'm the only adult in the house with the two boys. I get them ready. I make their lunches.
Brush their teeth.
I get them to school. They brush their teeth. We all brush our teeth. It's like a whole thing we do.
You lead the way.
I lead the way. I come upstairs, brushing my teeth.
Charles is pretending to do it with the kids.
I don't even know how to do it. I don't know what to do with my hands. and then I get them off to school and then I go to work. Now, if I leave, that's Tuesday.
Teeth ain't getting brushed.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
They ain't lunch.
They're not going to get any lunches. They're not going
to
brush their teeth.
The only approach is you have to like pre-pack those lunches for those days. You have to do a little meal prep.
Oh,
okay.
Pre-packed lunches for the boys.
I mean, one gets a ride, so I don't actually leave the house.
Don't they go to the same school?
No. My oldest one's in junior high, buddy.
Oh, gee. Oh, yeah. He's at
STM. He's in the hockey.
The way to do it
there.
Is a little meal prep.
Yeah.
Early morning FaceTime to the boys, making sure they're checking things off
the
list.
Eventually figured out that gas stove they can cook for themselves.
They ain't no cooking. Boys, this week there's going to be no eggs. No eggs and toast. No egg sandwiches. It's going to be all eggos. Actually, you're not even going to use the toaster.
See?
Because I don't trust them.
Yeah. Stuff.
Them in their baggy ass clothes.
You can eat cold.
Is Baggy eggs. Back?
Baggy's back. You know what's back? You know what kills me? All kids do, all the hockey boys, all they do is walk around doing this. What you can see is me flicking my finger like I have a tin of chew in it and I'm packing it. I am packing it, getting ready for a dip, a nice upper decker. But these kids don't have no chew and they don't even know why they're doing it. But the fact that I can make the noise,
you're cool.
I am in high regard with you're these cool. kids.
It takes a while to break your finger in. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It so took a while.
You should see all they do is just walk around flicking their fingers. It is very funny. You got long fingers.
Oh, you're good.
Yeah, Jay's got long.
Jay's
the
good.
The longer the fingers, snap. The more the snap.
Back hurt up, my wrist,
give it a
though.
Give it a go.
Oh, man. I really popped the wrist there.
Put your hands in the air and break your wrist.
I can't.
Dude, what are you doing with your pinky?
Just keeping it out of my fancy boy, St. Albert.
Oh, yeah. Pinky's up.
I could actually never do it.
Drinks up. Pinky's up. Anyways. So, yeah, no, I mean, there's a road.
To school. Road. Take the road, kids.
Lucky you don't have to do that with Zins. You don't have to pack.
What if my wife would just take the week off?
Yeah, probably. For you to go to
really got to move heaven and earth to make this work. Yeah,
the news stops.
Breaking news.
She should come.
News.
Report live boots on the ground.
Get Global to pay for
if
that.
If I said to you right now, let's just say I made a couple phone calls and I could get it to happen. Am I even invited?
It's not a question I can answer.
What do you mean?
Who do I ask him?
If you want to come with us, you can come with us.
Oh, yeah, then I know I'm invited.
Yeah, like you're more than welcome to come with us.
What the fuck, you think I'm going to be like, no, you're not allowed to come? I'd love to have you there.
So one thing, Felton texted me and just said,
in his house.
Yeah, maybe.
Felts.
But Felton texted me, and that's the captain, Captain Felton, and was saying, hey, like if this series goes to Vancouver and you guys are coming, can you can you just book your like find take tickets and include me where you buy your tickets for the game? Cause I'd love to sit with you guys.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is interesting. Like, yeah, I said, yes, but it might be tough to get like a big group all in the same row or something, but I don't know. Maybe it'd be fun to like try to get a group together section? And sit in the same section.
I'm also curious what the vibe is going to be like there amongst.
It'll be spicy.
Cause I imagine there's also going to be a lot of Oilers fans in there.
Oh yeah.
It's going to be,
it's going to be spicy. Weird. It's going to be.
Cause I bet LA is spicy,
but I think it's a whole nother level now.
You think it's a different level of spicy than LA?
Yep.
LA, like this is diehard fan base with diehard fan
base. What percentage of those Kings fans were diehards to the point of like anger? Fiala?
To the point of anger?
Yeah.
What happened in the bathroom?
I know, yeah. Fiala buddy there. But like, again, I'm saying like percentage of the people in the building.
What happened in the bathroom?
Oh, we'll tell you later.
Just like, so essentially what happened was a Kings fan just started chirping every Oilers fan that was just standing in line. And it really, so that happened in the first period.
Interesting word choices. We were all kind of
like laughed it off or like whatever. Same thing happened in the second period, but he chirped an Oilers fan who was not taking it. And it really escalated.
But his chirps, this guy.
They were way offside.
Very, very bad
offside.
Whoa.
So it really, really escalated to the point where people were like jumping in the middle of everything going on.
Who would have won?
I mean, they probably
between Fiala. Well,
between Kings fan and Oilers fan, who would have won?
Fiala, if it was because another Kings fan got into it.
Yes.
Him and the other fan probably would have been a good tilt. Fiala would have got his ass kicked.
Yes.
Interesting.
All right. Should we wrap up this podcast?
But to your point, though, probably is they're not even allowed to have watch parties in Vancouver.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just think like
they're not allowed to have watch parties.
Yeah. No. Their mayor.
They don't want to like put the seed down for another riot.
The mayor was like, based on our history, we need
like
to be
outside of the building.
Yeah.
Like this, so the Canucks can't do an outdoor, like similar to what the Oilers
no
do.
No moss pit.
I mean, they were bad. It was bad.
Yeah.
Riots were bad.
Yeah, no, they're still grounded.
Wow. You're grounded.
Yeah, so they're on time.
Grow up.
It's been a decade.
So my favorite part is like, they'll be like Canucks fans being, oh, another fight in the moss pit. And you just be like, you guys aren't even allowed to have these. Here you go. Yeah.
I don't see any cars on fire there, pal.
Yeah. It's like 2 17-year-olds swinging at each other in the moss pit. It's like not the same.
No.
Yeg wave.
They don't yell that, do they?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like
it's World
like
Star, buddy.
World Star.
Oh, did you see the video of D. Cates just wandering through the moss pit yesterday?
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was just on the outside. I saw it on TikTok. He was just kind of cruising the perimeter with the kids.
Good for him.
Okay, sweet.
And like a man that was very gigantic along with them as well.
Yeah, I would expect.
Yeah.
That could be Harrison. He is a tall man.
No, he was there too. There was another fella. He was a big, big man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring him with me when I go talk to my neighbor.
Yeah. A little crowd control. Right. I just thought it was interesting. They were just, it was before the game, it was early, and they were just kind of wandering around checking out the scene.
Cool.
Rest is a weapon, boys. Let's get our rest.
Yep. Take it easy, everybody. You know?
Maybe a nice weekend out. Oh, I guess you can't go fishing yet.
Nope.
It's a little
golfing.
Relaxation.
I'm going to golf.
I kind of want to golf.
I golfed.
How's the course?
not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's under construction. So I'm sure there's nice golf courses, but it was just good to be out there.
And I told you, Jay, you can come with me. You brush that off.
Man. I know, like, but it's because it's Saturday. That's peak like
fatherhood.
By the way,
I want to golf.
Amazing video. When Crawford saw you running over to you, I thought that was adorable.
I didn't know that was being videoed. It was so cute. She ran so far to come because she saw my car pull up to the park. Because that was my first
and
stop.
Just hearing her yellow dad as she's running, I thought it was adorable.
Yeah, yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, no, it was super cute, super cute. That's why I had to get up at 5 a.m.
And as soon as that hotel room door closed, I jumped right into Jay's bed.
Well, so that's funny too because I didn't hear you leave at all. When I woke up, I looked over and saw someone in the bed you were in, and I went, holy shit, Jay, you're late. It was just Tyler.
Me snoozing. It's great. All right. Have a good weekend, everybody. And we will talk to you again on Monday.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.